Welcome to the Compassionate Educators Show. Let's dive deep together into the skill set, mindset, and best practices you and your students need to thrive in today's world. I am your host and guide, Marie Cooney, licensed school counselor and founder of Compassionate Educators Coaching and Consulting. Together, let's transform education. Welcome, Compassionate Educators. I am so excited to have Dr. Simone Alicia, also known as the Self-Esteem Doctor, on with us today. And just a little bit about Dr. Alicia. She is an experienced classroom teacher and a former fashion model. Dr. Simone is blazing a powerful trail as a results-driven self-esteem coach and a keynote speaker. With an official certification in neuro-linguistic programming, also known as NLP, an honorary doctorate in divinity, and an active membership in the Association for Integrative Psychology, Dr. Simone has founded the Self-Esteem Doctor Academy and has so much amazing insights to offer us as we support our students in and outside of the classroom. I cannot wait for this conversation. Welcome, Dr. Alicia.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here, Marie. I cannot wait either.
So good. So I would love to know, Dr. Alicia, what led you to create this movement around self-esteem?
Oh my goodness. I think it was my own experience in the classroom, as well as you mentioned, the modeling experience, which seems to be such a weird mix, but in fact, it came together in a very interesting way. Because while I was teaching my elementary school students, I would have them occasionally come up to me and ask me, like, do you think I'm fat? Or, you know, like something that just so, you know, self-esteemy, right? And I was like, what is this issue going on? And of course, you see it in preparing for tests or exams, not believing in themselves, feeling like it's too hard or that one's smarter than they are. So it was really something that struck me while I was teaching. And then, as I mentioned, on the runway with modeling, you hear these, you know, young adults in the backstage, supposed to be among the most beautiful or whatever that industry standard says. And yet they're back there just critiquing themselves, like, I can't do this, like, I'm not good enough, like, how'd I even get this? I'm too fat here, I'm too this there. And I was like, that's a pretty intense perspective that I'm gaining right now from such a two vastly different fields. And I think it all came together one day when I stepped off the runway and there were a group of little kids. And they were just kind of glorifying how amazing we were and how they want to be like us. And I was like, wait, we all need to work on something a little deeper here because it's not what you think, right? So that really, I think, opened the doorway for my work with self-esteem for sure.
It's so amazing how those moments in time can make life-changing impacts. So just seeing those young children who were, as you said, glorifying the models, and then you're hearing the models really criticizing themselves and looking at what can we do to really love ourselves? How can we just love ourselves unconditionally?
Yes. Oh, I have chills. Yes.
Children specifically, when I think about a child as they enter the world, as I have a two-year-old, she loves herself.
Oh, yeah.
She is all about herself. and it's so incredible to see. But at some point, as they get older and all of these expectations are placed upon children and they start to see, you know, comparisons and comparing themselves to others, something starts to change and shift. And I'm so curious, in the work that you have done, what is it that's happening? What is happening where we can enter this world fully embracing ourselves, and at some point, it almost seems to just all fall apart in some ways. And we have these gorgeous models, even, who are criticizing themselves and can only see their flaws instead of what truly is just everyone else can see as their beauty shining inside and out. So I would love to hear more about any insights you have on that.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I think over the years of doing not only the one-on-one consults with my students or my clients, but also, you know, now incorporating the academy, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, what I've come across is this idea that seems really strong in me that when we were born, like you said, and we're 2 years old, like your daughter, we were like, hey, I got it, right? But it's so natural, right? It's so just automatic. It's one of those things where we really don't know how we feel this way or why we feel this way. We just kind of do. And then as you mentioned, as life is happening and trials are coming and comparisons and pressure, that all gets challenged. And because we didn't know how we got there in the first place, it's kind of hard to get back to it. So first, I'm amazing. I can do no wrong. You know, I break something. You're like, oh, baby, it's okay. You broke something, right? But then as I get older, the expectations change. The responsibility on me is different. You expect me to handle that with more care. I shouldn't have broken that. I was doing the wrong thing. So a lot more critique comes with that. And I feel a little less accepted. I feel a little bit more flawed. I feel like I'm making all these mistakes. And then there's this big void. How do I get back to feeling so awesome? Why did I feel that awesome when I was little? I don't know what happened. So for me, I feel like the power and the skill now, and especially the work I'm doing, is to give that how. There are things you were probably thinking and focusing on when you were 2 and 3 and 4 that promoted that sense of self-love and self-acceptance. And as we got older, we have completely detached from those things. We stopped focusing on them. We stopped thinking about them. We didn't even know we were thinking about them. And so we see a really big loss, I think, in that sense of self-love and true fundamental self-acceptance. So that's where I think that's all coming from. And of course, let's mix in social media, regular media, exactly. Massive academic pressures, just everything that poses the question to us. Question yourself. Are you keeping up? Are you good enough? Are you pretty enough? Are you smart enough? Are you succeeding enough? And all these questions with no counterbalancing tools for keeping that sense of self along the way.
Even as you were describing that, all of these different pieces coming at us, it made me feel exhausted and out of breath, right? And so I can only imagine, you know, with our students especially, there's so much pressure. There's so much pressure to be better, to do better, to look better, to act better. There's always that feeling of not good enough, right?
That's right.
And you mentioned some tools though. You mentioned they don't have these tools in which they can really look towards or to use to get back to that sense of having that inner confidence and that self-love. And so that sparked my interest. I'm so curious. So what are some of these tools that you are referring to?
I'm going to build you up there by first mentioning one of the biggest skill sets I think our really young children have is this beautiful imagination. It is limitless what they will let just flow through that beautiful brain of theirs. There is literally no limit. They will be everything on the planet, do everything on the planet. They are a princess and a queen and a king all at the same time, right? And I think that that is a fundamental piece, is being able to utilize the power of our thoughts, right? We can call it the imagination. We can call it our thoughts. We can call it our focus. At the end of the day, it's a skill I think that our kids, when they're younger, are able to get lost in. And being able to utilize that, that is actually one of the fundamental tools. Ta-da! Here's the big one. As we get older, I think we kind of minimize the power of these, call them idle thoughts. Like, oh, well, you know, if I'm not thinking about school or math or science or reading or my homework or the test, then, you know, it doesn't really matter. But that's not true. Those thoughts that we are sustaining throughout the day are very, very important and fundamental to how we are actually feeling and thinking and feeling about ourselves, which then of course impact our behavior and our outcomes. So I really think that one of the tools is for us to maintain the importance of thought and teach our children as they're growing up, those moments of just imagination and daydreaming and imagining the best future you can have and feeling great about yourself and picturing yourself as a queen and a prince and whatever. Those were fundamental moments. Those sent chemical signatures shooting through your body and made you feel like you were the star of the show. And we just want to build that in with, of course, some humility, lots of kindness and compassion for others. But that's a tool that I think we can teach on purpose. Our thoughts matter and there are ways to use them to help us to actually continue to love ourselves as we grow and as we face challenges in and out of school.
That's absolutely beautiful. I love that. And I love the play. I love the imagination. And I truly feel that play should not be only for children. We need to play, right?
Even if we're children. Yes, I agree. 100%.
Right. Yes.
Play is such a great way of learning and problem solving and engaging and expressing and communicating. And I think we've minimized that a bit, especially in our schools. I think, you know, we get so focused on the academic portion of it, which obviously is important. There's no need to say one is better than the other. However, I think they work together in tandem in a really important way to make sure that our kids feel that self-confidence and that freedom and the fun and the engagement while they're taking in pounds and pounds and pounds of information. But they can process it a little bit better when they're in a state of joy rather than in a state of stress. And I think we have to consider that a little bit more, the learning environment, the internal learning environment of our students as we're, you know, giving them the important academic pieces that they're going to need for now and the future as well.
Now, Dr. Alicia, I hope that you don't mind. I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a moment here. Okay. So if someone is listening and they are thinking, well, I can't just think my way to being confident, or are you telling me I'm just supposed to, you know, imagine that I am someone that I'm not, right? And so if someone were to have questions like that, How would you respond to that? Because I know that there are those questions that come up and some resistance that comes up to that. So how can we kind of flip that switch in a sense?
I love that question. So one of the first resources I would recommend for someone who is having some doubts would be Dr. Joe Dispenza. But at the end of the day, there's science behind the function, the power, the role of the thoughts in our minds. There's a role. And when you look into the science behind it, you do see, number one, something called mental rehearsal, which is where we actually do see and envision and visualize with feeling. That's kind of the key to mental rehearsal. But there are a lot of psychologists and clinicians that will tell you, when you engage in mental rehearsal, seeing something in your mind's eye that you haven't done yet, or you want to do, or something in the future, but you are imagining it, you're really mapping in your mind, creating memories, synaptic connections, familiarity, and you build confidence. So there's this sense of, I've done that before, right? Your brain is kind of like, I'm seeing it, so you must be doing it. I don't know what's going on out there, but it's real to me. And so when your brain perceives that this thing you're doing is practice, it truly does help you to make a new change in your outcome and in your behaviors and your performance, because your brain has a little bit of practice and has been exposed to that particular visualization and stimuli and the emotions that go with it. And I would take it one step further and say there's also science that tells us that the thoughts that we're having have a chemical signature. So if I'm having thoughts that are on the negative side, then I'm releasing more negative chemicals and hormones in my body, which then affects everything from DNA to gene expression and all these different things. If you get deep into the science, which I have because it's fun for me.
It is fascinating.
I love it so much. And if you're thinking more positive thoughts, you are now, I have a chemical signature being released into your body that's much more uplifting chemicals, the oxytocins and the, like, you're feeling good. So in the end, it's not just a foo-foo act to like walk around pretending you're seeing rainbows and unicorns. It really is a fundamental asset to helping oneself. You think positively, you release these chemicals, your body is flowing these chemicals, it supports you feeling good and acting in a different way. You visualize what you want, your brain maps it, creates almost like a memory of something that you haven't even done yet, which builds this confidence so you can step forward and do something new. So whether you're building this for self-esteem, or you're using mental rehearsal for sports or for a presentation you have coming up, or just to walk into a room and feel good, it works. It works. And there's definitely science behind it. And it's okay to take your time and baby step into, you know, things that are new for you. No one's telling you got to, you know, incorporate this fully into your day forever right now, this red hot second. But I do encourage you to look into it a bit and open your mind to it, because what it can do for us as adults is amazing. And what it can do for our students, especially if they start early and this becomes part of their habit and this becomes natural for them. Oh, that's staggering. That's just excitement beyond my ability right now to contain myself, because our kids can benefit from this.
Oh, sure. Amazing. Amazing. And so, well, I'm sold. Let's say as a teacher, I go into the classroom and I have students. My brain immediately goes to middle school. Middle school. I don't know about you, but my self-esteem in middle school was not anywhere near where I would have, you know, now as an adult, loved to see it. So thinking about placing myself in a middle school room, and I see these students who have so much on their plate, so much pressure, so much expectations that they feel that they can't live up to. And as a teacher, I want to step into that classroom and support them with their confidence through this tool. Is there something that I can do as the teacher to support them in which they can be more confident about who they are, how they show up to school, release some of those, just that pressure, release some of that, so that they can be more confident in just who they are, where they are at this moment in time?
Absolutely. And you're using the word release, and it's like a buzzword for me. I'm like, bing, bing, bing. Yes. So, for our teachers in school, first, again, I just want to send some serious love to our teachers. I've been there, and a lot's been going on, and a lot it falls on the hands of the teachers. And we talk about the students, and it's like, let's support the teachers too. So This one's for you, teachers. I really think that as much as possible, if our teachers can incorporate the sense of self in our students by prioritizing the thoughts that are happening in our kids' heads before we engage in certain activities. If we could kind of set the stage, get the kids in a state to receive the academics, to receive the learning, to receive the content, to take the test. I think if we take a little bit more time, not just in academic prep, which is extremely important, but academic prep has to be done in a state where the student is receptive, open, believes in him or herself, confident, ready. So if you can prepare that state before your lectures and your lessons and your classes, then I think we can see a fundamental change in how our students respond. So how do we do that? One of the ways I would suggest is actually giving our kids just awareness. Sometimes our kids don't even have a clue. Do you know that your thoughts are actually going to impact how the rest of this class goes? And they'd be like, what are you talking about? No, they're not. Right. Mm-hmm. And then if you can get a child to really understand, even in middle school, high school, elementary, to really understand, okay, the state of mind you're in is going to help kind of create this lens, this filter, the window through which you're going to see the rest of this class. So if you come in and you're already agitated, you're annoyed, you don't know what's going on, you feel like you don't like this or that, then you're not receptive. So I just teach something, half of it's over your head, you have no clue, and now you're even more mad than when you came in. So if we could take maybe 5 minutes in the beginning of class, because I know time is like gold in schools, gold. Maybe 5 minutes in the beginning of class to help prepare our kids and get them into state. And we do that by asking them, what do they want from the class? Visualize success in the class. Talk about this class as if it was the best class. Jump in your time machine. Imagine this was the best class you ever had. Tell me what happened, you know, go back and tell me what, oh, it was great. I was taking information. I got straight A's today, you know, really build up the sense of possibility. Because if we can't even think that I can get an A in this class, if I can't even imagine that I can feel okay in this class and competent and confident, then I'm not that close to actually physically achieving it. I can't even picture it in my mind, which I can picture anything I want. So we really want to encourage, I think, teachers, if they can, 5 minutes every day, kind of prime the pump, kind of set the stage and get the kids in state to receive that learning. So journaling, conversation, just having a positive moment of just appreciation. What do you like best about school, your class, this classroom, this subject, you know, really just shift that focus from the complaining state that we're fully accepting. And that's what we do. We go to school, we complain, everybody knows it. we shift that a little bit and encourage our kids to open up other pathways in the brain to say, well, you know, it's kind of cool that I learned about this, and it's kind of cool that the teacher does that, and it's kind of okay, and it'd be cool to get an A, that would be nice, and I'd probably jump up out of my seat, like really add the senses and the feelings into it, and then you take the test and see how those scores change over time.
That's so exciting. That is so exciting, because I love digging into how to create the classroom environment to support our students and to be inclusive and uplifting. And this is really looking at each individual student as what is their inner environment.
Yes.
And so really priming that inner environment to be at their highest potential. That's so exciting. Yes, like, yes. I want to go do that right now.
Right. Okay. I gotta go. We gotta go to school.
Right.
So good. And I love the way you said that. That I'm taking that now. I'm borrowing that. Thank you.
Go but for
that,
it.
That inner environment. Yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. I love that. And it's super, super important. I think it's paramount at this stage as well.
Really. It is. And I'm so grateful that you brought in the teachers as well, because I work with teachers day in and day out. And I have so many teachers that come to me and they are themselves lacking confidence because there's so much pressure that is being placed upon them. Your students' test scores must reach this level, and you are expected to do X, Y, and Z every day without the, you know, guidance and support that you really need. There's so much going on. And I have to say that I am thrilled. I just learned this morning that People Magazine has announced teachers as one of their People of the Year. So I'm so grateful that nationwide there is acknowledgement, and prior to the pandemic, this was necessary. And I'm so grateful that it is opening up so many eyes to say, you know what, our teachers need more appreciation, need more acknowledgement, need to be seen and heard and valued.
Yes.
So when it comes to supporting our teachers and building their self-esteem, because they want to be the best that they possibly can and to really support their students at the highest level that they can. When we look at all of these different factors coming at them, I know that you work a lot too with adults. You have these amazing resources for students, and you also work with adults as well. Is there a difference between how we really look at elevating our self-esteem and our inner confidence? Is there a difference between how the children would do it and how we do it as adults? Like, what is going to give us like the biggest boost so that we can really be there and support our children?
I love that question. And I think that in many ways, it's fundamentally the same, but what we are engaging in as kids versus adults can be a little bit different. So I think in that, there may be some differences or some variations, but ultimately, it's fundamentally the same concept. And what I would say is, you know, as adults, we tend to be a little bit more serious. As you mentioned earlier, like, we should be playing too, we're adults. And I'm like, yes, I agree. But we tend to get a little bit more serious. We tend to hold the world on our shoulders. We tend to have been exposed to way many more things. So, you know, fear is there, and worry, and looking into the future, just a lot of different factors that may not yet be on our kids' shoulders in with such intensity. And what I like to imagine, I like to have this visual that comes into my mind about what we are surrounding ourselves in and what we're going to feel. So I kind of have a silly thing that I'll say, like, if I jump in a bucket of mud, I'm going to be covered in mud. I know, it's profound. If I jump in the pool with just water, I'm going to be covered in water. And so I say to myself, what do we jump into every single day, emotionally, mentally, you know, when we are going day by day? If we are jumping into, oh, the news, and this horrible thing happened, and this kid's, you know, not doing well, and that's not working out. And if we become just hyper-focused on the things that aren't working, because they are real, and it's not like I'm telling you to ignore them, But just keep in mind, if we jump in a vat or a pool of all of that, we are going to be covered in that. That is going to be how we are experiencing our day and our world. And if instead we become more deliberate about seeking out the things that we want to be immersed in, like, let me see how this class is succeeding or that student is succeeding. Let me see what's going right in the world. Let me look up some positive news. Let me gauge what's gone right in my life. What do I appreciate? Who do I love? And if we can immerse ourselves a little bit more frequently in that, then I think what we get covered in reflects that. So we can kind of affect and impact how we are feeling day to day by what we continuously expose ourselves to or immerse ourselves in or consume mentally, or you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, it's not that we're going to ignore everything that's negative, but we have to be fair. People will say, I can't ignore the negative because it's real. And I'm like, but the positive is real too. So why are you ignoring that? I don't understand. Right?
Great so, point. Like, yes.
You know what I mean? So let's be fair. You can look at it all, but at the end of the day, realize it's rubbing off on you. It is becoming a part of you. It is impacting the thoughts, which is now impacting the chemicals, which is impacting how you are feeling, which is impacting how you are acting, which then impacts again what you get back from the world and then how you continue to think. So I really think it's essential for us to start to look at what we're immersing ourselves in and to be more deliberate about seeking out more positive resources. So going back to what you said, both about the teacher who you kind of needs some of these resources and the self-esteem as well. And going back to that buzzword you used earlier, release, there's a technique that I use and I take a journal. And on one page, I literally just vent anything that I feel like maybe I was in the mud for a little bit. And I'm like, I need to get this off of me, right? So I'll get in my journal and I'll vent. And, you know, this happened and I need resources and I'm tired and la, 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 right? I get it all on the paper. Now, sometimes people will say, yeah, well, you know, everybody knows you can journal your feelings. Okay. But for me, there's a second component that is vital. I look at it kind of like a cavity. I just released. I just took all the yucky stuff out, but you can't just leave that wide open and just walk away. So on the very next page, I've created the habit of now filling in. So now I fill in with positive. This is where I deliberately reach the far corners of my brain and I find what is positive. What can I refill myself with? How can I give myself hope and possibility and potential and belief and faith and confidence? What can I tell myself right now? And I write it out onto the journal pages. So right there, you get the duality of, okay, this is bothering me, but I just refilled with this. I just deliberately took myself to another place. And it's amazing the cathartic feeling that comes over you that you actually took that stuff out of your body and you put something better in and how it affects the rest of your day. It is amazing. I even created a journal to help people do that because I was like, you need to do that. I did.
I can't believe that because I had the thought, actually, as you were describing it, I thought, wow, you really should create a specific journal for this. So you are several steps ahead of that.
It was working so well. I was like, I can't not do this. So
that's so amazing. Well, definitely send the link to the journal so that I can include that in the show notes because I'm going to be checking that out. Yeah. The work that I do with the teachers is oftentimes trying to look at what can we take off of your plate? What is causing overwhelm? What is not bringing joy? What can we take off of your plate so that you do have the time, the space, the capacity to intentionally have the time, the energy for what brings you joy, what is going to just get you excited about life. And so that goes so well with everything that I have been teaching and to have those thoughts. It's kind of sometimes hard to fill our cups and to have that overfill of gratitude when there's so much stuck, right? It's like, let's clean the vents out.
Yes.
Right? Get that flowing so we can get the good stuff moving and flowing through. So I love that journal. It's going to be definitely on my wish list here. So
I love that. I love that. And I just want to add, if you don't mind, Marie, just also sometimes it's the little things, you know, because when you mention you know, we don't necessarily want to say, you know, here's a whole new list of things you have to do in order to love yourself. It's kind of like, oh my goodness, I'm already tired. Like, I can't add any. It's not helpful, right? So I'm always very much an advocate for the little things, right? So you're working, you just turn on a YouTube or some kind of like a podcast, something like this. It's just filled with encouragement, filled with optimism. You can turn on something that's really soothing music, something with like binaural beats. You can turn on an inspirational speaker, something. You can turn on affirmations or just saying, I'm amazing, you are wonderful, you've got this, right? But just to have something running in the background, when you're in the kitchen, in your home, if you're preparing a meal or doing something, instead of having the news running in the background the whole time, because they just repeat everything on the news, get the little first round so you know what's going on, and then switch it and have something uplifting or just really fun music that talks about how amazing you are and life is great and it's a sunshiny day, because it helps to feed that internal voice and it helps to become part of your internal voice the more that you're hearing it and exposed to it. So sometimes it's just those little shifts that you can make and not have to like change your whole life and start journaling for hours every day. I'll journal for 5 minutes and make a quick shift. I'll do some deep breathing and intentionally breathe through my heart. And it feels like I'm literally expanding those vessels, which Dr. Joe Dispenza says you actually can be expanding those blood vessels in the heart, which again, more chemical release, a big scientific component behind deep breathing and these things that we think are, breathing. Like, no, breathe, I'm telling you, it's good. So a couple of deep breaths throughout the day in the classroom, intentionally, a journal, listen to background music, you know, a lot of small things we can do so we're not adding to the overwhelm, but instead we are creating a new atmosphere inside for the teacher as well, because we need you and you are an asset. And even People Magazine knows now,
right? Exactly.
You to me, teachers are and have been the biggest influencers. So all these social media influencers, love you, respect you. I just think the teachers were the original influencers and they are the star of the show.
Yes. Yes. So, you know what? Speaking of, I would love to know, is there a educator that comes to your mind that you would love to give a shout out to that made an impact for you and your life?
Oh my goodness. There's so many popping into my head. I'm like, where do I start? Well, you know what I think is safest? I'll go to someone from old school back in the day when I was growing up. And I would have to say Mr. Florestal. He taught me math, I want to say sixth grade-ish, something like that. And it was just, I developed an absolute love for math that year with Mr. Florestal. He just understood how to reach children. And anytime I think of favorite teacher, there's just a big sign in my brain that's like, Mr. Florestal. There are many, of course, many peers at this point in life of having been in the classroom that I would love to shout out, but I don't want to get started down that list. So we're going to go with Mr. Florestal. Yeah, right? You all know who you are.
I mentioned earlier, you have an academy. I would love to hear more about what this entails and anything that you want to share in regards to what you are creating.
Absolutely. So I wanted to have a much greater reach to help students all over the world, families all over the world, kids, teens, all ages. I wanted to be able to reach more than just my local hometown or one-on-one clients. So I built the academy to create and demonstrate and share tools, really the how of self-esteem building, the how and the details behind the power of the mind and the power of thoughts. I curate videos that I find, I make my own videos, I build my own classes. And the whole entire idea is I want it to be this hub for anytime you think of self-esteem, you're like, I'm going to the Self-Esteem Doctor Academy. There's got to be a resource there. And so that's what it really is. So you get some classes, a lot of play, a lot of upbeat, a lot of like, you know, okay, click the answer. Can you see me? You know, it's pre-recorded stuff in many cases, but I've made it so interactive. So the kids are like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. So the Academy really is this, you know, one-stop shop for everything to do with self-esteem. If you need encouragement, if you need resources, you need ideas, you want to understand self-esteem and meditation, you want to understand self-esteem and comparing yourself with others, you want to have an easy self-esteem builder that teaches you these hot topics like how to believe in yourself and how to never give up and, you know, how to make good choices, things like that. It's all there within the Academy. And again, we're looking to have everyone have access. So some resources are completely free. Some resources, you do make an investment. But the idea is that everyone has something here that they can benefit from. And it's super exciting.
Oh, that does sound exciting. That's really great. And so it sounds like this is something for both students and for adults. Everybody can learn and gain something from it.
For sure. For sure. You'll see that a lot of the content right now is geared towards the younger audience, but there's a resource library that has resources for the parents, for adults, for professionals. And it's something that we're going to continue to build. So if anyone stops by the Academy and they're like, oh, I don't see anything here for me, come back and see me now you're here, because we're going to be building some more stuff. So yeah, the idea is to continue to grow and to be, again, that resource for all ages. So we will continue to add, but that's what you'll see when you first get to the Academy, will be some of the younger resources for the kids.
Oh, well, that's so exciting. And I mean, what better time to start young, right? To make sure that these children, when they are that 2, 3, 4 years old, that they can continue to just appreciate the essence of who they are and be confident in this world. So that is so fabulous. And so it sounds like there are some amazing ways that our listeners can stay connected with you. What is the best way for them to find you and access this amazing information that you have?
I would say that go to Homebase is theselfesteemdoctor.com. So theselfesteemdoctor.com. From there, you can get to the Academy. You can learn more about me. I can come and do speaking at your events, different things like that. So I think Homebase is definitely theselfesteemdoctor.com. All spelled out.
Is there anything, Dr. Alicia, that we did not cover that you were just itching to bring about? I know that we covered a lot. Yeah. It was so good. But is there anything else that is on your mind?
I probably want to reach out to the hearts of everyone. I just want to speak from my heart into your heart and say, no matter what stage you are at, whether you are a child who's tuned in for some reason, or you're a teacher or a former teacher, a parent, I want you just to understand that it's never too early and it's never too late for us to truly fall in love with who we are. And I want to ease a fear that I think some people have, that loving yourself is automatically about arrogance, or loving yourself is automatically about being better than someone else. I always tell the kids, or make a big announcement at any presentation, self-esteem is never mean. So when I'm loving myself and I feel true compassion and appreciation for self, that is reflected in me also wanting to spread love and compassion to others. So don't be afraid that if you enter the world of self-love, that somehow you become arrogant or you become somewhat unpleasant. It is love, and love is beautiful, and love will be spread to others, and it can only uplift us. So don't quit on me. Don't give up on me. Don't tell me you can't do this. Don't tell me it's too late or it's too much. And enter and embark on this journey for yourself or as a teacher, and watch how it will ripple down to your kids if you have, and your students in school. It's a beautiful journey of self-love, and you're going to enjoy it.
Wow. Well, I just feel all warm and wonderful right now. So I hope that those who are listening also just have really tuned in to the incredible essence and wisdom that you've brought today. So I so appreciate you being here on the Compassionate Educators Show, Dr. Alicia, and we will stay in touch. Let's stay connected. And we will make sure that all of your links also go into the show notes, so everyone has easy access to continue to see the work that you're doing and to be involved.
I appreciate you so much, Maria. Thank you so much for all you're doing for us and the teachers. Our entire education world needs you, and we're so happy that you're doing this. Thank you for having me. It was an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you for joining today's conversation. We would love to know how these sessions are inspiring you to take action. Please leave us a rating and review on whatever podcast platform you are tuning in on, and let us know in your review how you are actually taking these questions and this information and applying it to the classroom or to your community. We look forward to seeing your responses and maybe even incorporating them into a future episode. Bye for now.